You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini. Educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with the Deal Farm. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, I've got Jeff Shadrick. Jeff, how you doing?
Fantastic. How are you, Ken?
I'm doing very good, man. I appreciate you coming on the show. So Jeff is a fellow Collective Genius member out of the Birmingham market. He's actually just about 2 hours west of me here in Atlanta. And actually, we have very similar businesses. He does a lot of turnkey. He does some retailing. He does some new construction now. He's actually got a pretty cool website we're going to talk about here in a little bit. The name of his company is REI Associates, and he also recently formed the website REITrader.com, which we're going to get into. But Jeff, you and I have talked a bunch in the past, and I don't know if I know your full story. Like, I know you came out and you did some financial planning for a while, but maybe take us back. What's the story? How did you get into real estate originally?
Yeah, so that's a kind of a roundabout path, but I started out in my family was in the construction business growing up. My father owned a construction company, and so I kind of cut my teeth at an early age in the new construction and remodeling world, and then went off to college and decided that I wanted to be a finance major. And so I graduated from college and got directly into the finance world, and I served about 18 years in the financial advising world. And most of my stuff was working with the trust department and doing wealth advising for, you know, the high net worth clients and their corporations that they ran. And so I started to see kind of a pattern with all of my clients that all of them really were invested in real estate. And so just after working with them and kind of seeing what they were doing and really seeing how they were building their wealth, I really decided that, you know, maybe that's something I ought to dig into. And with my background in finance as well as my construction knowledge, when the market crashed in 2008, it just really presented a good opportunity. And I looked at it from a perspective of, well, I mean, we can get all of these houses for, you know, really cheap with the market being down. And so it just kind of worked well in my market to get into the turnkey rental program. I hung my banking hat up and decided to go full time into real estate. And that's where we are today. Just have been working for the last 6-7 years on developing the turnkey model, and of course doing buy and hold for the company. And then recently we have gotten back into, we're starting to see more opportunities in the new construction side, so we're starting some new development projects.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, your path is very similar to ours. You know, as the market changed, you sort of adapt with it. But that's interesting that you were actually advising clients, and so they were asking you, hey, we want to put some money in real estate, and you sort of saw that as an opportunity. Maybe I should be servicing them on the real estate side. Is that sort of how that transition came about?
It is. Well, yes, some of them already had real estate holdings, and I started to notice in their portfolios that outside of their standard stocks and bond portfolios, they were mostly the wealthiest people I knew had real estate holdings, and it was a large part of their income and cash flow. And so I started to pick up on that, as well as some of those clients obviously approached me and, well, hey, what about these real estate funds and this and that? And so I really just kind of said, well, look, if everybody's wanting to be in real estate, I'm seeing a pattern here. And I saw the opportunity in our marketplace with the depressed housing and the increase in the number of people looking for rentals. I just kind of put two and two together and said, look, if instead of doing this, I can just go out and make this go on myself and really bring in these clients. And so I used, one of the things that helped me get started was I really already had a good base of people that trusted me from the financial background and knew that, you know, I would steer them right and would do the right thing for them. So that really helped just kind of springboard. The funny story is I had one of my clients who actually owned a registered investment advisory firm here locally. Mm-hmm. And he, I saw him, like I would pass him like in the break room a couple of times, and every time I would pass him, you know, our conversation has always gravitated towards real estate. And so one day he asked me, he said, well, if you weren't doing this, what would you be doing? I said, well, honestly, I would go out and I'd start a real estate investment company. And he said, oh, that's interesting. And nothing was really much said of it. But the next time, a couple of weeks later, he saw me and he said, well, are you serious about going into the real estate investment business? And I said, yeah, I'm 100%. He said, well, how much would that, take to get you started? And so I told him the number, and he said, oh, that's interesting. And about an hour later, he called me into his office and said, hey, look, I've called such and such at the bank, and I've set up a line of credit for X amount of dollars, and I want you to go ahead and start doing that, and let's go into business together. And he became my first private lender.
Oh, my gosh. And, yeah, it doesn't get any better than that. Holy cow.
Yeah, it was really, just kind of one of those things, all the pieces fell together, and it just goes to show you, if you just tell people what you want, a lot of times things will happen and you'll get what you want, but you got to be able to put it out there.
So this wasn't your boss. Was this your boss, or was this just somebody that you
worked
with?
Yeah, this was the guy that owned, this was the founder of the investment firm that I had signed on. I was doing some contract work with them. And I hadn't been with them for very long, but they, I came over from the bank that had just been recently purchased and downsized. And so I came on with him, and, just one of those situations where we kind of hit it off, and really both of us had a shared passion for real estate. And, after further talks, he trusted me enough to want to help, me kind of get my feet on the ground and get started. And so that's how he did it.
That's maybe the best case scenario I think I've ever heard of somebody that wanted to leave their day job and start full-time real estate. When you walk into your boss and say, this is really what I'd like to be doing. And he says, okay, great. Here's a line of credit. Get started. Leave my firm and here's some money. Go for it.
Yeah. I guess you could take that one way where he's like, well, I'll just pay you off to get rid of you, or that he actually was interested. I gravitate towards the latter, because he was my first private lender, and still is to this day a very good client of mine from a private lending side.
Well, then I would definitely say the latter. He probably knew the power of private lending and wanted to put somebody in place that he trusted. And I guess, how many years later is this that he's still your client?
We're at 6 years now.
6 years. So yeah, he saw down the road of, hey, if I keep my money invested in private, private financing for the next 6 years, probably longer than that, then, he's probably making great return on his money, better than he's going to make in any stock or bond, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's made a great deal of earnings off of the deals that we've done over the past 6 years, no doubt. And you're right. He obviously saw that, well, if I'm going to do this, why not do it with somebody that I trust and I know that I've dealt with on a business level. So it really was, it really worked out for both sides.
Oh my gosh. That's pretty awesome. So he set you up with a line of credit, and then how did you decide you wanted to do a turnkey investing?
I just started looking at the market and really decided that, given the price points of the houses versus what my market was offering in rental rates, it really just was a no-brainer from our side initially at the time, because we could buy houses for, during the crash, you could really just buy houses at very dirt cheap prices. But the rents didn't go down in our markets. The rents were very stable. So we could buy a 3-bedroom, 1-bath house, and be all in with renovation costs and purchase costs for, under $35,000. We could rent that property for $800 to $900 a month.
Wow.
And then turn around and sell it. So, I mean, we were getting, 10 to 15% cap rates on a cash on cash return. And so there was that, you couldn't do new construction. New construction was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was either buy and hold or turnkey at the time in our market. And so, which I'm sure you're probably was a lot of the same way over in your market.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just made more sense and it provided the most opportunity for us. And then we started to see where other investors out in the U.S. were really looking at our market and coming to us and saying, hey, we're looking for turnkey properties. We can't get them in our markets. And so it just was kind of one of those things where you looked at it and said, this is the most profitable market that we see here. And then we also were able to pick up those properties from a buying point. Now, although I wish I had held a lot more during that time, because things obviously would be a little bit different. But the everything was buy, fix it, and you could sell it as quick as you could get your, as soon as you could get a tenant in it, you'd have buyers lined up to buy.
Yeah. Now, did you end up selling to some of your former advisory clients?
We did. Yeah, we sold to some of those clients and some of them here locally. But the most of our clients really just came from out of state.
Yeah.
Our market just drew in a large number of out of state clients.
Yeah, I mean very similar to our story in Atlanta. I mean, you find all these California investors who can't believe they can, buy a $60,000-$70,000 house with $800-$900 in rent, and they're just gobbling them up. At the same time, during the downturn, the caps were amazing, but it was also a lot easier to find properties. I mean, for you guys, how were you getting most of your deals back then?
We were 90% of our deals were just cherry picking off of the MLS.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just open season. You could, every day there'd be, 10 to 15 new listings for investment properties for people that were going through foreclosure. We also did bandit signs and direct mail marketing, but we just had so many deals on the plate through the MLS or through the foreclosure websites, HUD and Fannie Mae, that it was just every day you could just throw out, and if you missed one, you knew you'd get three tomorrow.
Yeah, right. Yeah, those were the days, weren't they? We didn't realize how good we had it back then, just picking them off.
Those were. If there's any, has been any positive out of Obama, then obviously the longevity of the downturn of the market has been helpful for the turnkey.
That's hilarious. Well, thank you for that, Obama. Thank you for sustaining our business for so long. That's pretty funny. That's hilarious. So, like everybody else who's been in real estate investing for the last several years, your business had to evolve because, REOs began to dry up. So what did that look like for you guys?
Yeah, so we started seeing the numbers dropping, started to see some signs on the wall that prices were starting to, some of the neighborhoods that we were buying in, we were getting priced out on the MLS and all of the marketed deals, just because a lot of people came into the market. We had the fund companies that came in and started buying up, and they were just paying, ridiculous prices for properties, and it really just drove the acquisition cost of the properties up. So, and of course, drained down the inventory at the same time. And so, I started looking into just different areas, and the good thing about the way I positioned our company in the beginning was I really wanted it to be a very diversified model. So when we got up and running, we always knew that if the turnkey environment slowed down, then we would have the construction piece that would help pick up if the market came back and people started doing more remodeling or new construction. We could take advantage of that and shift the resources of the company at a pretty quick pace. Mm-hmm. To counteract that downturn in the turnkey model. We still stay pretty steady. And as we get more aggressive in the direct mail campaigns, we're still seeing good solid opportunities in the turnkey model and buy and hold. But we're clearly easily paying double on the acquisition price from what we were, a year and a half to 2 years ago.
Yeah.
On our acquisitions. So long term, at least with what we're seeing with the real estate market cycle right now, we're starting to see more new construction projects and opportunities opening up. as well as the fix and flip arena. So we've taken a little bit of a shift. We've reallocated some resources within the company to allow us to take advantage of those fix and flip opportunities to sell owner occupants, as well as the new construction side, which we're going after pieces of raw land now to start doing some smaller development projects.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, again, your business mirrors mine pretty closely. What percentage of your business right now would you say is turnkey versus like a fix and flip?
I would say right now we are probably down to 50. We're probably even now. We're probably around 50-50 right now.
Yeah.
The new construction and the development stuff has really only come on for us in the last, I'd say, 4 to 5 months. We've really recently gone after a couple of large tracts of land to do some new construction, new development pieces, and actually build subdivision. But we've really been aggressively going after the retail fix and flip projects over the last 5 years. I mean, five months.
So do you have somebody on your staff, or are you a licensed general contractor to build the new houses? How are you guys doing that?
Yeah, I'm a licensed contractor. So I got my license back in 2005. Prior to that, I was just operating under my dad's license through his company. But in 2005, I actually went and got my contractor's license and started building spec homes in my own right. And so I built spec homes from here in my local market from 2005 to 2007, middle of 2007, when really the new construction stuff halted about 6 months before the market really crashed.
Yeah, yeah. I got you. So you already had some experience doing new construction before things came to a halt. That's good. Super.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the new construction is really where, you know, the long term when I was going to go real estate and do it, it was, you know, the goal was if I didn't go finance, I was just going to go back into the family business and do new construction.
Gotcha. It's funny. I was sort of the same way because it was 2009 that I went ahead and got my master's in building construction and got licensed. And I didn't know when it was going to come back. I just knew at some point it would come back and I wanted to be ready for it when it did. And sure enough, man, we're smack in the middle of it right now. I mean, it's a building frenzy as we speak.
Yeah, you'll have a ton of opportunity over there in your market right now, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Well, and what's interesting, too, is in our market, it's almost all the big box builders, you know, and they build just the same cookie cutter product, but there's not a lot of smaller guys that come in and do more boutique products like we do, you know, on a little bit bigger acreage, more custom finishes on the houses. And there's a really good demand for it. I mean, and I'm not, what are you looking to build in Birmingham?
We're looking at right now, we're looking to do some estate lots. So we're doing acre,
yep,
3/4 to a full acre size lot.
Yep.
And we're looking to build anywhere from 3,200 square feet to 4,500 square feet.
Oh, nice.
On those acre lots. So we have an opportunity in our market, I think, for the higher end properties.
Uh-huh.
Like you said, a lot of the big box builders have come in and they've bought up the largest tracts of land just on the outskirts of town, and they're building the first time home buyers, and they're building those sub $300,000 price points. And there's a ton of those if you want to live out in the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
What we're finding is some opportunities on the inside of town, directly in the inner, not in the inner city, but just in the suburbs that are adjacent to the downtown area, where we can go in and buy up smaller tracts of land or even buy up houses that could be just scraped and then put new construction on. And so that's what we've done to this point, is we've really focused on, like, one of the things that we're doing right now is we've got an 8-acre tract of land where it was a probate deal. We're getting it through the estate, and it's in an area where all around it is 1.2, the average price is anywhere from $900,000 to $1.2 million. And so we're seeing opportunities there because the big box builders, it's not on their radar.
Mm-hmm.
It's too small of a project for them to take on to get their economies of scale. And so they tend to stay on the outskirts where they can buy up the larger tracts of land and do, you know, 100 plus homes on less than quarter acre lots. And we're finding that we don't get much competition from people if we go and stick towards the infill lots.
Interesting. You know, the one thing about Atlanta trying to do infill is that when you get into like city of Atlanta, it's just a red tape nightmare. Are you finding that at all in Birmingham? Are you dealing with the city of Birmingham, or are you like in the county?
We're dealing with the municipalities that are just outside of the city of Birmingham. We don't really have any projects going on in the city of Birmingham. Mm-hmm. What we are doing is we're, you know, I don't know how familiar with the Birmingham area you are, but just outside of within, you know, an adjacent community, we have three to four communities that are very popular for working class, white collar, blue collar workers. And so we've seen that those areas, and each one of those municipalities has their own building, you know, building code office and process that you have to go through. So we don't really have to deal with the city of Birmingham. We just have to deal with the smaller municipality. And we've been in this market long enough where we have some good relationships and have done projects where we know those people in the building inspection offices. And so as long as we follow their rules and their guidelines, it really isn't too bad. The only problem we have is from the rezoning then having to come back. Yeah, the zoning piece, because what we do have is we have layover where Jefferson County is still, there are still subsections of land that are still Jefferson County from a tax perspective and have not been annexed into the municipality. And so when we go to bring those in, we have to go through the whole rezoning and annexation process. And that is what takes the longest amount of time to get done.
Are you doing that, the rezoning and annexation process, before you take down the lot? Or are you buying the lot and then having to go through that process?
Well, what we're doing is we're making the close of the sale contingent upon receiving all municipality rezoning and annexing approvals.
Yep. Super smart. Yeah, I guess it sort of depends on how competitive the land is. Sometimes you'll have to take it down first, but if you have the ability to negotiate that and get it done ahead of time, then you're not incurring all those holding costs.
Yeah, if you can get it that way on the front end, it saves you a lot of money and a lot of wasted time, a lot of headache for sure. Now, you're right, depending on the level of competition, but that comes back into our business of where, you know, networking is so powerful and important. Is some of these deals don't come to you unless you've got some connections and have made some good connections with agents or individuals in the city that can make you aware of those opportunities before they hit the general public.
Oh yeah, well, relationships are huge, obviously, for finding deals. The other thing you got going for you is your experience with, you know, direct mail and finding off-market properties. I mean, how many builders do you know that are marketing for off-market properties? I mean, not many of them have that skill set. And that's a lot of the land we found have done that.
Yeah, probably zero. I think we're probably the only one.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. It gives you a tremendous competitive advantage. You're finding these deals, these lots, you know, these tracts of land that nobody else even knows about. So you're beating any potential builders to the punch. And then you're building a product that the big box builders aren't building. So that gives you an advantage as well. You know, for us, it's exact same story. We're doing the same thing, but we're actually, you know, trying to target tracts of land that, you know, where we don't even have to change the zoning. I mean, where then it's a much even quicker process. You get in, you're not really rezoning. You're kind of keeping it small enough. You don't have to do a full blown, you know, stormwater and sewer and all that. And it keeps it a little bit more streamlined. I mean, the speed of money is everything to your profitability. So the quicker you can get in and get the work done and developed and built, the better, the more money you end up making.
That's 100% true. Yeah. You guys have got a great little model over there. That's for what you're targeting on your niche builds over there. It's a really cool little thing you're doing over there.
I appreciate that. So, hey, Jeff, talk to us about REI Trader. 'Cause this is something that, you know, you presented last week. We were together in Tampa, and I think it's going to be such a cool platform for investors. I want to give you an opportunity to tell people about it.
Yeah, so we're really excited about REITrader.com. I had this this idea for probably about a year and a half to 2 years, and really just didn't have the bandwidth to take it on and really get it up and running. But until we did some strategic partnerships and it really launched the site. We did kind of a soft launch in October of last year, and then did our full-blown launch here over the last couple of weeks. And really what it boils down to is, as a turnkey provider, and you, I think you can agree with me in this fact that, you know, there's really no great way, or hasn't been a great way, to market your deals. You know, you do almost like to rent, like you've got a rental, and you almost do the same thing where you just kind of try to syndicate it across as many sites as you can get, and you hope that somebody stumbles across your ad and or any type of your advertising and gets out and sees it. And so it hasn't really been a really consolidated, centralized place for investors to go and find and market their deals. You know, there's a couple of message boards and some other smaller groups that offered that service, but nothing to the scale of what we tried to design out. So one of my frustrations was, okay, so I've got people in my staff or myself that go out and plug their, you know, go to each of these different individual websites, and they plug in the information, and then it's just kind of like a waiting game. You know, it's just maybe somebody comes across it, maybe they don't. Well, one of the things that we accomplished through REITrader.com is we created a whole back-end sales force for the people that list the properties on our site. And that's probably one of the most dynamic pieces of the site, other than the fact that it's very simple, straightforward, and free to register, is that you have an entire sales force behind you after you plug that property into the system and list it on REITrader.com. Our salespeople go to work trying to sell your property for you. And I haven't seen anybody out there doing anything of that nature. And we really felt like we had a good shot at centralizing, becoming the go-to place for all investors, and then also really help them out and give them an opportunity to help sell their properties for them. So it was like, hey, let's go put a service together that offers basically a sales force for investors to sell their investment deals for free. And, you know, I hope that you agree that really there's just nothing like it out there in the marketplace right now. What we hoped and what we see, or what we hope to see, is that this platform turns into really the off-market, the MLS version for off-market properties and investment properties for all types of investors.
Let me ask you this. So is it specifically for turnkey investments, or is it wholesale and everything else, just anything that would make a good potential investment property?
That's correct. Yeah. So it could be a wholesale deal, and it could be a turnkey deal. Our original focus was on the turnkey, but we've seen that with the demand from the wholesaling side over the past year that we really opened that up to handle all types of property. So it could be commercial property, anything that falls within that, you know, investment property, non-owner occupant type scenario.
Gotcha. Gotcha. You are 100% right, because there is not a central repository for investment properties nationwide. There's bulletin boards here, and you can post them there, or people put them on Craigslist, or they put them on the MLS, but there's not really a good go-to site as of yet, I don't think, you know, to put any type of wholesale or turnkey investment property. You know, there's a lot of probably one-off turnkey providers that are smaller, that are spitting out some really good product and just don't have anywhere to put it. They don't have the ability to get it to market and get it in front of enough eyeballs. So to have an REI trader, where now that small guy that's maybe putting together a great product in some small market that, you know, some investor would be thrilled to own but wouldn't know about it otherwise, now you can go on REI Trader and find that provider, find those houses, and it's a great way to connect.
Yeah, we've had some really great response from individuals across the U.S. We're already in 14 different states and 14 different locations across the U.S. We see that expanding, you know, double fold as we get ourselves out to the market more. And I really think, you know, we've just had such a great response from the individuals who have already started using the service, and they've all spoke highly of of what we put together. So we've gotten really good feedback, and we feel like we've set it up for good success for not only for us, but for the users as well. And that's really what it's all about, is providing a centralized place for everybody to come and post their deals and really get some traction.
Yeah.
And get some actual volume going, you know, moving. So yeah, whether it be the new investor that's really breaking into the market and really needs a place to showcase their properties and get it out to the broadest network as soon as possible, or it's a seasoned investor who's doing multiple deals a month, you know, there's just really, I don't think, any comparison out there right now to REITrader.com just to get your stuff out. And I know for a fact there's nobody out there who's obviously supporting on the back end side from a marketing standpoint and from a sales standpoint. There's just nobody out there that is actually actively engaged in trying to move our registered users' product for them.
That's pretty slick. So yeah, so somebody posts their property up there, there's a live body on the back end who's actually talking to other people and pushing their product for them on their behalf. That's huge.
That's correct. Yeah, not to mention the in-house marketing that we do to generate, you know, new buyers on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Man, I love it. I think that's killer. Well, you know the sort of the name of this show. I'm curious, you know, having done so many deals, probably even done some deals through REI Trader and some of your new construction stuff that you've done, is there any deal that stands out to you right now as your best deal ever?
We just had a really great deal over the last probably 3 months. This came to us as a lead. It's interesting. One of my private lenders is a retired individual, and so he came in and talked to me one day, and he said, "Look, you know, why don't you just kind of put me on your acquisitions team, and let me do something." It was more kind of like to get him out of the house and you know, get him to where he wasn't just sitting around all day. He was a very successful business person, sold his company for millions of dollars, and really just was looking for something to do spare time. And so he came to me one day and he said, "Hey, I found this great deal." And I was thinking, man, you know, you've been with me for like 2 weeks. I've barely even shown you, you know, what we're looking for, and how in the world are you going to even know what a good deal is, you know? And so he kept pressuring me about it, kept pressuring me. He said, "I really think we need to go after this deal, or I think we need to go after this deal." And so finally I took a look at it, and it was a house that we had gotten turned over to us from an attorney friend of his that he had been talking to and telling him what he was doing. And so the guy said, "Well, look, you just try to make an offer on this house." And it was a really nice retail fix and flip deal, but the family that was in it obviously was going through hard times and needed to sell the property. And so we made an offer on it. I was like, "Man, this is, we'll make a crazy offer on it and see if they'll accept it." And by George, they accepted their offer. And, but then the people didn't want to leave.
Oh no.
So they kind of like barred themselves up in the house and didn't want to take off from the house. And so we had to do a little cat and mouse trying to get them out of the house. That took us about 45 days just to get them in and out of there. And then one day what ultimately happened is we finally got the deed to the property. We bought it out of foreclosure from the bank, and we went over, I think it was on a weekend, and we went in, and you could tell that they had started moving some stuff, but they hadn't really moved all their stuff out. Uh-huh. And so they had left the back door open. And so we got in through the back door, and we were able to change all the locks and all that good stuff. And then and so, you know, we're over there in the middle of the night, and the neighbors are checking us out, trying to figure out what's going on. And so we finally got into the house. We got it all secured. And, I mean, this was one of those houses where, you know, some people have good taste and some people don't have good taste.
Most people don't have good taste.
Yeah, and this was one of those cases where it was very very attuned and decorated according to the lifestyle of the individuals that were in there. And so we had some cabinets. You know, there were cabinets in there that were all apparently custom-made cabinets, but they were nothing that you would ever want. And so we ended up having to just gut everything. We had to gut the kitchen. We had to gut the bathrooms. We had to take all the stuff, just basically take all the flooring out, all the lighting. Everything was just really specific to this type of individual. And so we decided to go ahead and go full boat with it, turn it over just because of the neighborhood we were with. I guess we ended up, we bought the house for $200,000. We put $45,000 into the house. We turned around, we sold the house for $439,000.
Dang, and, nice.
Yeah, so it was definitely a home run for us, and was a great deal. But it just goes to show you that, you know, deals will come to you in the weirdest form, and don't do like I did, which is brush it off for several days, and before you go look at it, you know, jump on it and try to figure out the right way to do it and take it down immediately.
Man, that's awesome. You know, the one thing that kind of, I mean, you made killer money on it. One thing we found that you have to be real careful of is if you've got somebody living in the house. Because I've bought, it's funny, we have a house that we bought out of foreclosure. We bought it from the bank. It was an REO, and we could not get these people to move out of the house. And they knew the system better than anybody ever, where they were filing bankruptcy and then refiling bankruptcy and then extending. And we could not stink and get them out of this house. And, I mean, we're going through all the legal channels. But all along the way, I mean, our attorney is saying, do not go turn off their, you know, power. Do not turn off their water. Do not try to change the locks on them, because it would only exacerbate the problem. And as crazy as it is, somebody's living in a house that you own. There's no lease even governing them living there. It's just the fact that they've taken up residence, and you technically don't have the ability to just boot them out. In a lot of cases, you got to be careful. I'm curious in Alabama if it's easier to get somebody out, or if you felt like maybe you were walking in some gray area there.
I think we were probably walking in some gray area, yeah. But we felt comfortable just because of the fact that they had already started to move some articles out.
Yeah, yeah.
And so
you played down.
Yeah, if they were, what it looked like was that they had moved out with just a let, with the exception of some items that they couldn't get loaded up, and that was going to basically be our. You know, our go-to was that, well, look, it showed they had evacuated, you know, vacated the property, and so we had the ability to go in and secure a property that we owned.
Yeah.
And so under that guise is what we went into. We felt like even if we got, you know, slapped on the hand with it, it would just be that. It would just be a slap on the hand. But yeah, you're right. Our rules are similar, I think, from the standpoint of, if you buy a house over here and it's a foreclosure property and the tenant is still, or the occupant is still in the property, then there's about a 120-day process that you have to go through legally to get them out of the property, up to the point where you can actually call the sheriff and have them forcibly removed from the property. And so, you know, it's not a too long. I've done it. I do it on very rare occasions where it's a really good deal on paper. And I know that even if it takes me 6 months to get them out, then I know that I'm still covered in that cost. It can cost you anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000 here locally to have an attorney run the process for you. And then have the sheriff come in. And that's really what kind of takes. So it takes about 120 days to run through the process, but then you've got to get the sheriff to agree to come out and actually serve the eviction. And those guys right now are running on a, you know, 60 to 90 day lead time to get it done. So,
wow, that's not super quick. Interesting. Or you could just sneak in and change the locks, right?
Or you just sneak in and you change the locks.
And they cross your fingers that they don't know better.
Yeah, now we've had success too with, if you can ever get in touch with the tenant or the occupant, it's a lot of times that works well, because if you can just get in and say, look, you know, I understand your situation, we're not here to throw you out, look, you know, we'll help you move through the process, and you know, that helps and goes a long way. But like you're talking about, sometimes, you know, these people, they do this, it's almost like they're professionals at it.
Oh,
and they know how to work the system and get every single day and hour of time in that property that they can possibly get. And, you know, I've heard the horror stories of somebody buying a house and it taking them a year to year and a half to finally get somebody out. and then the property is just destroyed. And so I would say you just have to be very, very careful and selective when you're dealing with buying an occupied property.
Yeah. Well, it's like you said, you just sort of set your pro forma. Okay, if I had to hold this thing for so many months, am I still going to be profitable? And just sort of plan for the worst and hope for the best. But I think what most people do in those situations is cash for keys, man. That's the way to do it. Those people are there, they're holding over, and you flash $1,000 or $2,000 at them, and that's enough to get them out of the house in most cases.
Yeah, you're right. And now, obviously, that goes the opposite way because we have some that have not even balked at that. You know, they just, the house is too much of an emotional thing for them to move out. And so, you just get it. It's all extremes, but yeah, you're right. The key to the whole thing is making sure that you take that into effect. You have to take worst case scenario into factor when you're doing your analysis on the front end.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Jeff, I want to steer people towards, your turnkey business in Birmingham and also the new website platform. Where do we point people to?
So if you want to contact us directly for the turnkey model, either if you're looking to purchase turnkeys or you're looking to look for private lending, some opportunities that we have on the private lending side, you can go to reiassociates.com. Or you can call us directly at 205-203-9449. If you're looking for properties to purchase as well, you can go to our website, reitrader.com, and search our vast inventory across the U.S., as well as sign up for a free account and get notified by email and or direct mail for our VIP buyers. And get on our VIP list to be the first to hear about upcoming properties.
Killer, man. All right, so folks, again, reiassociates.com. We'll put the phone number and website up, and then also reitrader.com will be on our website at dealfarm.net. Jeff, thanks again for being on the show. This was fantastic.
It's been my pleasure, Ken. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Okay, take care.
Hey, Deal Farm Podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini with a very special offer. I'm giving you an opportunity to work with my company, Georgia Residential Partners, and buy turnkey cash flowing properties in Atlanta for less than you've ever bought them at before. Where before we would sell properties that have already been fixed up with a markup in place, we're going to be selling properties at wholesale prices, the original wholesale prices. So instead of selling you a $70,000 house, we're going to sell you a $45,000 house. We're going to provide the hard money, the contractors, the tenant placement, the permanent financing, the insurance, everything you need to get into this house. And again, many of these properties are going to be sold $10,000 to $15,000 less than what you would have paid for them otherwise. That means you get to recognize equity right out of the gates and bring less money to the table on your permanent refi. If this is of interest to you, reach out to me at ken@gainvesting.com. Look forward to hearing from you.